Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, June 19th, 2026. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Jonah Booker. Happy June 9th or Juneteenth out there and happy USMNT Day. They're going to be playing Australia here in a little more than 5 hours. The Yanks versus the Socceroos.
Let's go.
J-Book and I are into that big time. Wearing the same shirt I did for last Friday's show because why not? It worked last Friday, so let's see if it works again.
You've been watching any of these other matches?
I have, man. I've got like World Cup fever for sure. Now some of them like I watch like a little bit and then I tune out, just have them in the background. But like the Mexico game yesterday was set with South Korea. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm into it, dude. I'm into it. You?
I'm totally into it, man. My son, he's all into soccer, and so I'm assistant coach for their youth soccer team, and they're pretty good out here. So I've just been locked in, been watching as many games as possible. I mean, what Canada's trying to make a little bit of noise here. You see that they got into it with Cutter's coach after the match yesterday.
Canada's coach is an American, Jesse March, and he loves the chirp. He loves the chirps. That, I did not see that. I saw Canada won 6-0, but I did see Canada, one of their best players got hurt, so that's not good for them. That was their first ever World Cup win ever.
I know
in the history. Now they have, you know, we're like a blue blood compared to like Canada when it comes to soccer, and I say that kind of jokingly. They haven't been in that many World Cups, but still the first time they've ever won. Let's hope the Americans can get it done today. All right. Speaking of getting done, like by the way, I want to say one more thing. Pat Murphy, you're going to be going out to see the game today. I'm going to be going out to we have a watch party at the local casino here in Columbus. Pat Murphy's got us beat though. He's going to be in Seattle. He's in Seattle right now.
He's
partying right now with the Socceroo fans, and you got the Americans and the Socceroos all partying together. He's in Seattle right now. Yeah,
Australia. They've been talking some smack too.
They have been. I was thinking like we were like kind of, you know, we're not going to like each other when the game's going. But I was thinking like, oh, USA and Australia, we're kind of simpatico, yeah. You know, everything. I bet you that'll still be like a good scene like right now in Seattle. I bet the Americans and the Australians are having a good time. But you're right. They because there was one, and he actually works for CBS. There was a former MLS player who now works for CBS said on a podcast. Mm-hmm. He was watching the draw live. And when the United States learned they had Australia in their group, this is like months ago, he goes, layup for us. And that caught fire in Australia. It wasn't like anybody like else said it. It wasn't like anybody involved with the team said it. Just one kind of random dude said it. And Australia's been using that as like their, I don't know, their bulletin board material, I guess. But it's like, okay, it's not like Christian Pulisic said it.
I know. Right. But Nestori, they're one of their forwards, he's an absolute cannon, man. 20 years old. He is one of those dudes that looks like when he's chasing down the ball, it looks like he's running about a 4.25 out there on the field. So they're definitely going to have to be able to mark up on him.
I see. Yeah, he scored their first goal last week again. And they were actually underdogs against Turkey. That the young man you're talking about, the 20-year-old, he came darting in. He scored their goal. I was like, damn.
Yeah, he split their defense. And I was like, holy moly, does he have some wheels. So that one's going to be fascinating to watch. We're going to have to definitely account for him.
All right, we love the football, but we love the football. So let's get into the football. I'll tell you, blast from the past for me yesterday. I used to cover recruiting full-time. Well, I did a little bit of everything. I wasn't just a recruiting guy, but years ago, probably before you and I even knew each other, part of my main job at Bucknuts was covering recruiting. This is before Bill Curlett came on. Yeah, a long, long, long time ago. I hadn't covered Ohio State recruiting camp in years, my man. I used to be out there for all of them back in the aughts. I was out there yesterday, and it was pretty cool. I'm going to start with Brady Edmonds. First of all, talking to Brady, I'd never talked to him like one-on-one. What a great young man. I mean, he's either going to be a real successful quarterback or he's going to be like a CEO. That's the type of young man we're talking about. Mature, but he's, you know, he's confident but not cocky. I love everything about him as far as like the young man. And it seems like, J-Book, like things are back on track somewhat with Ohio State and Brady. Like, who knows? He's taking a close look at UCLA. Yeah. It seemed to me, I think you and I talked about this, that Ohio State was kind of cooling on him. They were starting to look at other quarterbacks. So he started looking around. It seems like everything's back on track, but we'll see. Still a long way to go. What's kind of your vibe on that?
First of all, when it comes to recruiting, because there's so much noise, Dave, I am a firm believer follow their actions. The fact that he even showed up to camp, that kind of speaks volumes. I thought he did have some fascinating comments talking to the media. UCLA, make no mistake, they're coming harder at him. They had Troy Aikman reach out, create a video for him. So UCLA, they are definitely making his recruitment a priority, making it seem like he's their quarterback one on their board. For Ohio State, I really hope they don't mess this one up, Dave. I think he's a very talented quarterback, but he also echoed the words that a lot of recruits are saying nowadays. It's a business. We're going to go through the process. We're going to make sure we're doing our due diligence. I do think the grandfather, being a Buckeye fan and from Ohio, pulls a lot of weight in his family. And he even admit that's a very big deal for them. But for him, I think making sure that he's wanted at Ohio State is the biggest thing, especially when you have a local team in UCLA who's treating him as a priority, putting on the full court press. But he was very impressive talking to the media yesterday. I think anytime you can get a solid quarterback in your class, because you never know what attrition is going to be like, you take it. But I will say this, when he starts talking about business decisions, Dave, it tells me that he has offers out there on the table that's probably significantly more than what he has right now at Ohio State.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is he going to be willing to take less money to come to Ohio State? Is that Ohio State kind of telling him, we want you, but we don't want you that bad because we think Julian's probably going to leave after this year, and we think Tavian is next in line, so there's really not that much urgency. They were looking at other quarterbacks. And frankly, like if they get in a situation where like things aren't in a good spot in a few years at quarterback, what could they do? Just go to the portal. Find your next Will Howard, you know? But I hope it works out. I think if I had to bet right now, I think he'll be a Buckeye. I think he will. But you're right, though. I'm sure he's clearly, as you said, as you articulated, he's definitely getting bigger offers elsewhere. You can tell.
Let me ask you this question. And we're just looking down the road after St. Clair. Would you rather Ohio State be in a position to where they recruit and develop their own quarterback prospects within the program and the system, or would you like them to do what Miami's doing, which is basically don't develop any quarterbacks in their system, and they go out and find the best available quarterback in the portal and plug them in and have instant success? Because either you can't argue with Miami's success. You look at Cam Ward, won the Heisman, number one quarterback, kind of gave Miami that bounce that they needed, and then they parlay that into Carson Beck. And they went and played for a national championship. Now they have Darian Mensa coming in from Duke, who a lot of people believe with Miami's roster is going to have them right back into the playoffs. Which process would you prefer?
I like how Ohio State does it, but as you said, I can't knock Miami. I would prefer the way Ryan Day and Ohio State does it. And then if the shit hits the fan like it did going into 2024 after the 2023 season, when they're like – Kyle McCord's not the guy. We don't think Devin Brown's the guy. We need to go get somebody. If the shit hits the fan, then you can go to the portal. That's the good thing. But I still would – you almost have to, like, pretend like the portal's not an option. Let's just build from within. And then if you need to go to the portal, you can. Right. That's how I would do it, because what if you run into a year where there's not a Cam Ward out there? Not that Carson Beck was Cam Ward, but or there is, but, you know, he wants to go somewhere else. You just – I wouldn't want to rely on the portal 100% like Miami is. What about you?
Well, in that case, you got to tamper like Miami did with Mensa, because he had essentially signed a new contract, NIL deal with Duke, and Miami is like, oh, that doesn't matter to us. NCAA is not going to do anything. Would you want to come to Miami? I mean, that's the crux of it. If you're a program right now, I mean, by any means necessary, because the NCAA has basically already said we have zero power. Just find a local judge who's willing to be a Buckeye fan. You can take anything to court. That's why I'm fascinated why Ohio State hadn't went to court and got their wins reinstated.
Amen. That's still it makes me mad. It makes my blood boil. I say it with a little bit of a grin, but seriously, that 12-1 season, I'm getting ripped for like what was very, very minor in retrospect. Getting all 12 of those wins ripped away. I mean, what BS. They need to restore those wins. Absolutely. Ross Bjork, I would be leading. I know he's got a million other things on his plate. Make it a million and one. Add that to the plate.
Ross has done a good job. He's done a good job lately.
He's doing a good job. I like Ross. Yeah.
I mean, they're ripping up the new turf, the old turf right now that was just absolutely like playing on in the street parking lot for those players. They're putting in the new age stuff. I mean, it's not FIFA World Cup type of turf. I mean, those pitches look absolutely gorgeous, like the back nine of a golf course. But as far as turf goes in college football, it's supposed to be one of the best state-of-the-art turf. So they're doing that right now. They're doing other renovations around the stadium. I think the next big thing that I'm waiting for to shoe drop, Dave, is remarks about new football facilities. I think the Woody definitely needs a renovation to kind of bring it up to the standards that you're seeing all across the country with the big-time programs. I think that's going to be the next one. From last we heard, Dave, it was a question about space, building a brand new one, or completely renovating the existing structure. Have you heard anything about that?
I think they're going to build a new one, probably close to like where the ag campus is, toward Upper Arlington, because they've got a lot now. There's a lot more open land there. Now, some of that is obviously farmland that they use. It's the ag campus, the agricultural campus. But I think unless they've changed their plan, the plan is to have this as a separate football facility, and then the other athletes can use the WAC. Basketball and hockey have their own thing at the shop, but all the other athletes can use the WAC. But there's like the football side of the WAC right now. It's football personnel only, as the big sign says. So they want their own place. And Ross said he was hoping this summer. Obviously, it hasn't come to fruition. He was saying last year the first two things on his agenda as far as building stuff is the new Woody and then the new ice rink. They want to get the hockey team out of the shot, and they want to get the women's hockey team out of the old ice rink or whatever it's called from like 1940. So they're going to have a new hockey arena that's smaller. But I agree. I think the new Woody is the next order of business. And I think unless they've changed, J-Book, I think they're going to have a whole new building.
Right.
All right. Somebody in the chat, Eric on Facebook, really wants us to talk about David Gabriel George's. I don't have anything new. I wish I could lie to you, Eric, and tell you he's going to be a Buckeye. I hope he's a Buckeye.
Right. He canceled his Georgia visit. So that's good news. So he's supposed to have an official visit coming up this weekend, and he canceled that. He recently took a visit to Ole Miss for an official visit. I just think this is coming down to Tennessee versus Ohio State. I read something, don't know how true it is, but the Haslam supposedly might have gotten involved for the Tennessee side to really sweeten the pot. I think this is a situation here to where after he went on that Ohio State visit, they really set the pace. Even his family members said it was going to be tough to beat the Ohio State visit. He went to Tennessee, had a great visit. I'm sure Tennessee offered him just a ridiculous boatload of money. And so you heard a lot of buzz coming out of that camp after that post-visit. Some people were talking about maybe switching their crystal balls, but they never did. And then he went on that Ole Miss visit just to check it out. And sounds like the comments, Ole Miss, so-so. So I think this is going to be where does his heart want to be at, and where does he want that NIL offer? Because I can tell you Ohio State's going to make him a very, very solid offer. Now, I don't know if it's going to be matching the Haslam's Tennessee type of offer. But I think that in the end, he wants to be with Ohio State, considering Ohio State was what his first offer that he talked about in interviews, that Ohio State has been there since day one before he really blew up and took that next step. But hopefully he gets this over with soon. I think it's next month he's supposed to be deciding, but I think it's going to come down to Ohio State versus Tennessee. To me, the further this kind of plays out, I think that pendulum swings back to Ohio State to really have him think about, okay, this is why I loved Ohio State. This is why I love Coach Locke. They were one of the first ones on there. I have an opportunity to compete for championships, a much more stable situation. There's not even a guarantee that Heupel's even going to be there within 2 years, Dave. So I think that Ohio State, they're going to do everything they can to try to get him. So I hope that answers some of the questions for the chat who's been blowing up the chat line today asking about him.
Back to Brady Edmonds. I'm sorry, I misspelled his name in the title. It's Edmonds. It's not like Jim Edmonds. There's a U in there. I'm correcting it as we speak. Back to Brady Edmonds. Yeah. If he does go elsewhere, whether that's Ohio State cooled on him or he decided he wanted more money or he just more comfortable at UCLA, whatever it might be, if that relationship does break up, like where does Ohio State go in the 2027 class? It doesn't seem to be like any viable options at quarterback. Things can change fast in recruiting, but like what would be plan B in your opinion?
Ooh, I don't know. I right now you really don't see any plan B right now. I think you could. Here's the thing about recruiting, though, because you're going into this season, there could be so many different prospects that Ohio State are eyeing that may be on that fence that we don't know about, but they're waiting to see how they perform this season. But if they don't land Edmonds and they don't think this is a really deep class to really poach someone, I can see them punting on this year's class, Dave, and looking at 2028, 2029 quarterbacks.
It might depend because obviously Tavian St. Clair is next up. It might depend on how they feel about Luke Fahey too. Could he be a viable backup? Could he be a guy, even though he's short for a quarterback? Could he be a guy maybe in a few years they feel like they could develop? If they feel good about him, maybe they, like you're saying, maybe they would just punt on 2027. I hope Brady Edmonds stays in this class. He's an impressive dude. And you're going to take a chance on a kid that's mature, every bit of 6'5", 235 pounds. Got kind of heavy feet. I think that's the one thing that, like, talking with Garrick Hodge, our recruiting guy, you know, he's got kind of heavy feet. When it, you know, doesn't move that great in the pocket, but he can make it every throw on the field. So I hope it works out, man.
So when you look at Edmonds, his game reminds me of a Dwayne Haskins type of quarterback. Huge arm that can throw the ball all over the field. There's not a throw that he can't make, but he's not extremely athletic. Hopefully that if you get him into the program that he can pick up some of those 2 to 3 yards, hidden yards that you and I have talked about a lot of times. But he is not the most mobile quarterback, but man, does he have an absolute nuke of an arm.
I also had a chance to interview 2029 quarterback Ty Snell yesterday. Yeah,
that's the future.
These are kids that just finished their freshman year in high school, like last month. But Ty Snell, they don't have rankings out for the 2029 class yet. But I was looking at it; he might be the number one quarterback in the country. He's out of Texas, he's out of the state of Texas, and 6'3", 191. He's got 34 scholarship offers already from the likes of Ohio State, Alabama, like on and on and on. Just top school after top school, Georgia, Miami, Indiana, Oregon. I mean, on and on and on. He's already camped at USC, UCLA, and Texas. He loved his time at Ohio State. And he was asked by my guy Dan Hope from 11 Warriors. He's like, do you model your game after any quarterback? And he, no hesitation, J-Book, he said, yes, C.J. Stroud. And then explained why. He's like, great guy off the field, works hard, great work ethic, translates that to the field, accurate with the football. And I loved hearing that that Ty Snell, who might be the number one quarterback in the country in his class, that his main guy is C.J. Stroud. He said he loved his time at Ohio State, by the way.
34 offers this early, that's big time. I mean, you can almost see these kids who's going to be the five stars. Anytime a kid with his size as a 2029 kid at 6'3", 191, plays down in Allen, Texas. So he's playing against some of the best competition in Texas. And then you look at his offer list, that right there stands out like, okay, this kid is big time. They don't even have him ranked yet because they don't do the rankings that far down the line. But whoo,
I was looking around. I'm like, geez, this is an impressive offer list. I'm looking at the other 2029 quarterbacks. Nobody has an offer list like that. Like at this point, what else are you going to go by? And it's not like fake offers. Like Ohio State really wants him. Like Garrick, through his sources, has said, this is not a guy Ohio State's taking a look at. They really, really want him. Would they take his verbal commitment right now? I think they would. Brady Edmonds committed. I looked this up when I was like doing the research for the show. I knew he had been committed for a while. Brady Edmonds committed between the Michigan game of 2024 and the Tennessee game. So when like the program is in dire straits, basically, and then he commits and then bam, they win the national championship. He's been committed since December 2nd, 2024.
18 months. He's been committed. The longest committed prospect that they have currently in the class.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Jay Harrison. See those crystal balls?
Oh yeah, buddy. He looked great yesterday. Yeah. He looked great. That was fun. That was fun being out there. I hadn't been out to, like I said, I hadn't been out to a recruiting camp in a long time. That was the last one of the season. We got a couple guys out of town, so I went over and helped out Garrick. Saw the all-star Mark Porter out there. Mark Porter's son is a big boy. He's almost as big as Brady Edmonds.
Oh, really? Let me ask you this about Harrison. You've been covering the team for a while. You've seen a lot of these highly regarded five-star recruits come in as freshmen, young guys. When you look at Jet Harrison, how he run, how he move, his twitchiness, what you think, man? I mean, because a lot of people got him as the number one recruit overall in the class. What's your take on how Jet Harrison, how he's moving, his twitchiness out there?
Yeah, he's also smooth. Like, he's got it all. Like, he's got the quick twitch. He's smooth.
Yeah,
got great hands. He's long. He's got everything. It's easy.
He's smaller than Marvin, though.
True. I mean, Marvin was – they initially listed him at 6'3". He was every bit of 6'4", and they finally switched that up. Not as long as Marvin, but still plenty long. And if Hartline was here, it'd be like Locke. You know, now I'm like, I don't know. We were so used to just if Hartline wanted a kid, he was going to get him. So we'll see if our guy Cortez Hankton can continue that. He's struggling a little bit right now. I keep hearing comments. I'm like – Cortez seems like he's going to be a good recruiter. You talk to him, I'd be surprised in the end if he's not a good recruiter. And he's already got his chops. He's been at Georgia. He's been at LSU. It's not like this is his first big-time gig. I like Cortez Hankton. Big shoes to fill, though. We had one more question I'm going to get to. I think a lot of people from LV Buckeyes on YouTube. What is the plan for St. John Arena? I haven't heard anything's changing. Hopefully they keep it. Hell, I wish they would just renovate it and that'd be the men's basketball arena. It was awesome seeing games in St. John. The acoustics there are great. I haven't heard anything new. For a while, they were thinking about maybe demolishing it. Then that went away. I haven't heard anything new. I think the plan is to keep St. John and, you know, at least use it for occasional sporting events. And then, of course, Skull Session. I don't know if you've heard anything, JB.
I haven't heard anything about that. I think if memory serves me right, I think somebody a long time ago asked Ross about that. And I think he just kind of dismissed it as not something that's in the plans. Like people wanted them to renovate it and use that as another potential basketball. And I guess he said it's no longer suited for a major college basketball game, but I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. And I agree with what we talked about Ross earlier. I think Ross Bjork, is he perfect? No, nobody is. But like, feels like the ideal athletic director for like this day and age of college football. Like, and he's a guy that kind of rolls with the punches. He's not like, oh, I got to deal with this. He's kind of like, I get it. There's going to be something new. I just feel like I like Ross. I feel like he's the right man for the job at this point.
What it's almost like for a while there, every week they were announcing something new that was happening. I'm just like, does he have? The hearts and minds of the Board of Trustees won over because it seems like every request that he was putting in was getting a yes from the Board of Trustees. A new scoreboard, massive one, supposed to be coming in that they're going to be renovating that. So a bunch of different stuff around campus that they're saying, we want to be able to renovate this. Hey, let me ask you this. We know that they're putting in the brand new state-of-the-art turf inside the shoe. Are they doing that with the practice fields? Because I feel like with the practice fields, those guys are spending 90% of their time over there on that turf. That's where they're really doing the wear and tear during practices and stuff. You would think that, hey, if we know that we have terrible turf right now and we're going to put in the new stuff, you would think that they would want to put it to where the players are on the field 90% of their day, which is over there at the Woody.
I don't know. We're going to get a chance to interview Ross next Thursday. I believe we're meeting with him the 25th, the local media. And that's a good question because I don't know the answer to that. And it would make a lot of sense. Again, it's not cheap to put on those fields, but like for safety, mm-hmm. you would think it would be paramount to do that. So it's a great question. Are they switching the field? Now, yesterday I was out there at the same fields. Now, the good thing is they also have grass fields out there. They got two turf fields and two grass fields. They got like four football fields out there. So if they want to just practice on grass, they can. But you're right. I mean, if they're going to switch the turf because it's unsafe at the horseshoe, wouldn't you want to do the same thing at the practice fields? Yes, you would. I'm curious if they have or if they plan on doing that. I'll ask Ross that next Thursday. All right, my man. Go USA. I know you're heading out to an establishment. Yeah. I am as well. If you're in Columbus, stop on by Hollywood Casino. You won't see J-Book, but you will see me and my buddy Scotty Vegas. We're having a watch party there. You can win free prizes. So, J-Book, great stuff as always, my man.
Hey, before we get off here, is Posick playing today?
I think so. I think that's a little bit of sandbagging by our coach. I think. He said came out yesterday and said he's questionable. But he also then in the next breath, he's like, if he doesn't play tomorrow, he'll be able to play the next game. You had Tyler Adams saying, oh, Christian's definitely going to play. Who knows? Maybe it'll be a situation where he doesn't start. And then if they need him in the second half, which I'd be surprised if today that you wouldn't, if it's not a close game in the second half, maybe then you put him in.
Yeah.
I think he'll play.
See, we gotta win this match and get out of here in first place. Because if you mess around and come out of this group in second, then all of a sudden you're right there with a head-on collision with Argentina, potentially. And that's not a good matchup.
And to your point, if they not only that, like you'd have a really tough matchup if you come out of the group like in second place or even if some of the third place teams will get through. But if the USA wins the group, they would then play the third place team of one of these other groups. Not even second place. They'd play a third place team from one of these groups. And these groups, for those who don't know, have four teams in it. So would it be a lock that they would win that next game? No, but be a lot better than playing Argentina, that's for sure.
No kidding.
Can't believe we talked this much about soccer. Look at us talking about soccer. Hey,
hey man, you're expanding our horizon, Dave.
There you go. Win in Rome, right?
Our horizon.
That's right. All right. Great stuff, man. Enjoy the game today, and I'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Have a good one.
He's Mr. Jonah Booker. Awesome doing the shows with him. BTA Fridays. We should have done a prediction, right? BTA Fridays. Okay, how about USA 2, Australia 1? We go Dosa Sarah. Do we go 2-0? I'll go 2-1. USA 2, Australia 1. Our friends down there, down under, the Socceroos. That's a funny nickname. It's cool. It does remind me of like playing like youth soccer growing up, like just recreationally. Like one of my team names in like second grade, I think we were like the Little Rascals. Socceroos reminds me of like a youth soccer team name, like a youth like a co-ed youth soccer, like second grade, third grade, or the Socceroos. But that's the nickname of their men's national team, the Socceroos. They should go with Little Rascals, I think. No, all right, great stuff from J-Book. Go USA, and we won't talk as much about soccer next week probably, but we're going to talk a ton about Ohio State football, and hopefully Brady Edmonds stays in this class. I'm really impressed with that young man. And again, like, I don't want to punt on the class. I don't think Ohio State really has much to lose. Now, Brady might think he's got something to lose if he comes to Ohio State and doesn't think he can ever get past Tavian St. Clair. So regardless, he's going to be waiting around, maybe not get as much money as he would. UCLA, you have the possibility of stepping right in. Nico's going to be a senior this year. He could come in as a true freshman, maybe play. That's not going to happen at Ohio State, not with Tavian St. Clair here. I know there's a chance Julian's going to be here next year. I'm not buying that. I think Julian's going to go pro after this year. But regardless, it's either going to be Julian or most likely it's going to be Tavian. So that factors into it. But I hope they get Brady Edmonds. He's an impressive young man. You know, he loves the Buckeyes. Hopefully it works out. But the good thing for Ohio State is it's not even that big of a deal, which is crazy to say about a big-time quarterback recruit, thanks to having Tavian St. Clair here. And again, if the stuff hits the fan, you can always go to the portal and find a quarterback. All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks to J-Book. Thanks to all of you. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Large live audience here. We love to see that. And thanks to everybody who's listening to the show, podcasts, the audio-only version, watching here on YouTube or Facebook or X. Twitter. We still call it Twitter, right? Yeah, call it Twitter. appreciate you guys a lot. I know you got a ton of choices. I know you guys take advantage of a lot of those choices. Some of you have your own podcast, but I'm just glad you guys make the Bucknuts Morning Five one of those choices. Thanks again to J-Book, and thanks to all of you. I appreciate it very much. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day. Go USA, go Bucks. Fire.